From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty.
Now, every time I attack the labor extortion mafia, I'm specifically and exclusively attacking the fraud aristocracy of those unions. You know the ones, especially if you work in them, where they're moron nephews and cousins and idiot kids that can't get jobs, all of a sudden become union stewards or business agents. That upper echelon had never worked a day in their miserable freaking life. Those are the ones that like the government scams. The real workers, on the other hand, they don't like the scams, and they don't like the upper echelon.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
I agree with that guy. Simple and short. Right to the point. In the meantime, when he shows up and he's spreading a little, he's fluffing pillows and spreading a little welt around, letting everybody wet their beak, well, they kiss his ass no matter what he says.
Every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? Will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls in a different circumstance.
Yeah, all right. We all know about you and your so-called tragedies and the rest of it. And yeah, I know about the wife and the accident. Did she ever get a blood test? But that's another story. In the meantime, the idea that we're pretending Bidenomics and this fraud, this pay-to-play system of Bidenomics is actually working for anybody shows you just how lost we really are, as he's regurgitating shovel-ready jobs from the Obama years.
Today, folks, when folks see shovels in the ground in these projects.
Oh, whoa, whoa. There are no shovels. There's just money going out the door, constantly out the door.
The Biden administration awarding Intel nearly $20 billion worth of grants and loans. That, of course, from the CHIPS Act. The company right now will receive $8.5 billion in grants, but could get as much as an additional $11 billion in loans. That would be to help it build out fab manufacturing, fab facilities here in the U.S. Let's bring in John Fort.
Intel, Google, Amazon, all of them. They all got money for nothing. They splashed the pot. And what's really going on there?
The new year is not starting off on a happy note for workers at some of the country's largest tech companies, with more layoffs just announced. ABC's Alexis Christophers is here with those details. Good morning, Alexis.
That's right, Gio. Good morning. Some companies kicking off the new year by tightening their belts as the once red-hot job market gradually cools off. This week alone.
So they took the money and they fired tens of thousands. Boy, oh boy. It's like Ford or GM or any of these other front scams. In the meantime, the dimwit in diapers touts it as a success. That's how you know the Soviet Union play to fake it till you make it. You know, it took them 72 years to go bankrupt. I wonder how long people are going to realize we're bankrupt now.
My Investing in America agenda has attracted more than $825 billion. $825 billion. In private sector investment, not a penny of which existed before I got elected.
What? See, it's all fraud. It's like the stadium that the Bears are touting in the once great city, now ghetto, Chicago. It's a billion-dollar multi-scam perpetrated on the American people. Only when you talk about Joe Biden, it's really trillions. And how does it work out?
Rick Santelli standing by at the CME in Chicago. Rick, take it away.
Yes, let's start out with initial jobless claims, 207,000. That's much lower than we were expecting. We were looking for a number closer to 220,000. In the rearview mirror, we have 212,000. And by the way, five out of the last seven readings have been 212,000.
Five out of the last seven have been 212,000. Rick Santelli never saw that before.
Seen that before makes me wonder about these numbers, truly. Continuing claims.
Because they're frauded. And what they're figuring out now is that they're spending this ridiculousness of spending us into oblivion. It's not working for anybody. and their expectations, which you saw today, they don't know how to unwind. How much of that is actually a result of massive spending? I say 80% of it.
Much lower than expected. 1,781,000. 1,781,000. That is the lowest level going all the way back to January 12th, the week of January 12th. That is a big drop. And last week's moved down from 1,812, also under, to 1,796. That is a big deal. Now let's get to the money numbers. GDP, first look, first quarter. A disappointment, 1.6%. We're looking for a number almost a full percentage point higher.
Now, the reason that this is a big deal is that never before has the governments, and I say governments, add in your state, add in your local, and add in your federal, never before have they spent the kind of money they're spending. In fact, so far in their phony fiscal year, because it starts earlier than ours so that it tries to confuse the basic people, they're on a path right now to spend $20 trillion. When you add in federal, state, and local governments, all of it borrowed, every single penny borrowed. And now, why do I say that? Because what they're counting on returns doesn't account for the people that they hire. So what does a government do that wants to run a scam? It just adds more phony jobs, so it looks like more growth.
I'm Joe Biden.
I'm Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm Ed Markey.
We're here to share some exciting news with you. Americans can now apply to join the American Climate Corps.
Those who become American Climate Corps members will get paid to fight the impacts of climate change while learning the skills to be part of tomorrow's clean energy.
So all of this shows up as jobs. So when you ask yourself the question, well, how could we have low unemployment when we have more Americans on welfare than ever before, more Section 8 housing than ever before, more food stamps, more everything? So welfare is through the roof. How could it be? Because this is all government work. It's all government jobs. And the growth you see, all chips and salsa act. And that's the real scam. The sad part is somehow this idiot goes on to tout it as a success.
It ignited a manufacturing boom. Clean energy.
Let me translate, Squirrel. It's the dementia and the lies. He's trying to say he ignited a manufacturing boom. Let's start over, Joe. Start over. Just don't read. Pause, you stupid son of a...
My Investing in America agenda has attracted more than $825
billion. $825
billion in private sector investment, not a penny of which existed before I got elected. It ignited a manufacturing boom, clean energy boom, a semiconductor boom nationwide. And it's clear we have the strongest economy in the world. That's a fact. 15 million new jobs created in 3.5.
Not a one of them. Not a one of them in the private sector. Not one. This is what accounts for the trillions upon trillions you're now numb to. The trillions upon trillions. The 6 billion every 14 hours and all of it. This is how you get to the phony fraud. It's all a freaking fraud. And what is he talking about? Clean energy or chips and salsa? What the hell is he talking about?
Years. Unemployment hasn't been this low for this long for 50 years. Wages are rising. Instead of importing foreign products, we're exporting and exporting American jobs. We're exporting American products and creating American jobs. Here in America, where they belong.
Uh-huh.
So, folks, my predecessor and his MAGA Republican friends have a very different view. They oppose the CHIPS and Science Act that's powering this growth today. In fact, your congressman, Brandon Williams, called it corporate welfare. Bless me, Father.
See, and he's only got so many things he can remember with his advanced stage of dementia. But it's funny when you talk about this. I wonder if the people who have been laid off from the big tech companies, the tens of thousands in the last 4 months, do they think it's working? Because the companies, the ones whose stocks are rallying, they're not rallying because they're actually growing. They're rallying because they're implementing another fraud that GE used to implement. It's really quite fascinating. And they're going to talk about the kind of money that they have.
He has the man of the hour, Pat Gelsinger. John.
David, thank you. I am here in Chandler, Arizona, with Pat Gelsinger, the CEO of Intel. Big day for you. Been waiting for this for a while. CHIPS Act funding, $8.5 billion. That's a lot of money, but shy of the $10 billion that some, maybe you, were hoping that you'd get. And then there was
the grant means they don't have to pay it back. The loans total $20 billion to one company. So they're doing something, a trick that GE implemented to hide the fact that GE was, in fact, bankrupt. It was a scandal at the time, but we don't really know what scandal is anymore. It's called stack ranking. Do you know what that is, Squirrel? That means if you are not related to the upper echelon of the company, you're going to get fired. It's like labor extortion mafia unions, where if you don't have clout with the big cheese who smoke cigars and drink all day, pretend to be workers, you're going to get fired.
The practice of stack ranking employees might be making a comeback in Silicon Valley. Kate Rooney joins us now with the latest for today's Tech Check. Hey, Kate.
Hey, Leslie. So after massive waves of tech layoffs, employees may have thought their jobs were a little safer. That might not be the case at this point, with new forms of stack ranking making a comeback. This is where you rank employees on a bell curve and then cut the bottom portion of those. It was made famous by the late Jack Welch, the former CEO of GE. It's sometimes called rank and yank. Tech companies have been bringing it back in different forms as a means to keep headcount in check during these new years of efficiency and heading into earnings. Discipline and cost discipline is really a big theme in what investors want to see across tech. So names like Amazon, Alphabet, Meta have all cut double-digit percentages of their workforce.
Double-digit percentages of their workforce. And this idiot goes out and talks about the success. All it's managed to succeed is furthering the bankruptcy of America.
And Lisa Stefani, a few counties over, called the CHIPS Act, he said, was Washington at its worst, end of quote. I guess they're not going to be here today to celebrate.
No, only your insider whores are there to celebrate, just like yesterday with your building union upper echelon. Well, the workers have the very simple message for you.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
I love that son of a gun.
But now... Conversion is wonderful, isn't it? Now they've seen the massive surge in investment in jobs that we've mobilized. And they're singing a different tune now. Now they say this is critical. You got that? Stefanik said this is critical. Now they say what we're doing will, quote, lead to a more prosperous, secure, and innovative America.
Nobody with an IQ over 60. Nobody who ever took an econ class. Nobody who isn't in on the scam ever said that. Where he's getting that from is the upper echelon of all of the Alphabet companies, of Intel, and all of the recipients of yours and my money. They're like American Ukrainian government officials. They walk away with the money, and the worker, well, he doesn't do so well.
The Biden administration broadening the companies that are eligible for funding under the CHIPS Act. That's the focus of today's Tech Check segment with Christina Partsenevelos. And Christina, we were just hearing from the Norfolk Southern CEO that's bullish for the economy and factory production in this country.
Well, of course it would be bullish, because when you have companies building on American soil and getting money from the government, it's going to be a boom to the economy. But it's been pretty much almost 11 months now since the CHIPS Act became law. Large semiconductor supply chain projects with spending plans that exceed about $300 million can finally apply for funding. And this time around, chemical makers, tool suppliers are also included in the mix. So the CHIPS Act, just as a review, includes about $39 billion dedicated to manufacturing, $11 billion for R&D, but none of that money. That's the big problem. None of that money has actually been dispersed just yet. There is, according to the Commerce Department, a staff of 115 that have already reviewed nearly 400 statements of interest from companies.
And where does it go? It goes into the old favorite frauds and scams, not just to grow this bureaucracy that didn't exist. 150 government employees just to decide who gets the money.
What a beautiful day. I am proud to be standing here today,
spit it out, commie,
with President Biden and environmental leaders in Congress to announce an unprecedented $7 billion in funding for the Solar for All program, legislation that I introduced.
Solar for All. More of a boondoggle, more of a fraud, as California shuts down, Minnesota AG suing solar companies. Not to mention those poor, unfortunate residents that were dumb enough to sign the contract. 312-642-5600.
He's Sean Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
See, the reason that the actual real workers of this country and the real entrepreneurs and the people not in on the scam love Donald Trump, because he's the first one since George Washington to not be affiliated with politics. And yes, I know how many of you are saying Lincoln, but obviously you don't understand. Lincoln was a corrupt railroad lawyer who was interwoven with politics, ran for office two times before and didn't win. He was not half the man that George Washington or Donald Trump is. He came from outside government.
Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
And on the streets of New York, actual union workers who get dirty. Not those pansies who think they're gangsters, who sit in social clubs and cut contracts and cut deals and then go to lunch, called the aristocracy of the unions, the upper echelon, but the real workers. Hear them yelling USA Squirrel? Those are the guys that actually go to work, get dirty, put the flag on their helmet, and understand what the country is. And then they lie to themselves when they support those half-assed gangsters, because they know they got control of the contract and they get to trickle down whatever's left to the worker. See, that's not like those half-ass presidents, vice presidents, and treasurers of the corrupt mafias, unions, clapping 4 more years because they can't wait to get their money from this green energy scam. And when this stuff hits, woo!
Let us be very clear. Climate change is real. Climate change through drought, floods, forest fires, heat waves, and extreme weather disturbances is already causing massive devastation to our country and the entire world.
Not as much as the college professors who light the fires, and the communist sympathizers, and the eco-Nazis such as yourself, you communist rat bastard. Do they ever die, these old men? Do they ever go anywhere? Mitch McConnell's on my TV here. What do you shave that? Is that your neck? Is that your chin? What is laying on your collar, Granny? Brian, St. John, Indiana.
What's up, Mr. Sean? I am a grateful 597 pipe fitter. And I was just wondering, when he spoke to the building trades yesterday, was he speaking to the UA?
You mean the guys that got laid off instantly on his first day, to 14,000 guys?
The 14,000, yeah. But I'm just saying, was that who he was speaking to yesterday?
He was talking to the – listen, you know this, Brian. He wasn't talking to guys like you. He was talking to guys who pretend they're like you.
Right.
Guys who never got dirty, never put a wrench on a nut, never did anything, but they're connected.
What I always get mad about is how many of those guys, I mean, you know this, I'm not telling you, you don't know, but 14,000 guys in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, et cetera, all them guys that would have been working 7-12, putting food on their table for their families. He shut that shit down. Sorry for
that. Oh, he shut
it down right away.
Yeah.
And I hope, and we're going to still endorse him as the UA. It's pathetic, it's sad, it's horrible, but hopefully we don't.
That's why I don't give a rip what those upper echelon half-ass gangsters think any more than I did when I was taking their money in card games. I care about what happens to the workers.
I'm about it. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, you stay strong, kid.
That's what I got, man.
You stay strong. It'll work out. It'll work out. When you get to a state that enjoys your ability to be an American, somebody who's going to stick up for you no matter what, even if you're a victim of so much fascism and tyranny.
Florida rejects Joe Biden's attempt to rewrite Title IX. We will not comply, and we will fight back. We are not going to let Joe Biden try to inject men into women's activities. We are not.
No, what about all those union guys and the builders that were clapping 4 more years? You got any daughters? Any sisters? Just clap, huh, dummy? Makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. Scott and Aurora.
Sean, I want to know, when they run the unemployment numbers, do they factor in the millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants?
Well, it's funny you mention that. That statistic came out, what, 60 days ago and was a scandal? Sure they do. They cook the books. They count what they call work permits, and they count it as legitimate numbers. In the same way they count guys like Brian, who had to go get another job, or maybe another job, and it's a second job and the third job, and that counts as a new job. But what they don't count is the massive amount of millions of Americans now on welfare that were not before Joe Biden stole the office. And, well, oh, is that bombastic, Squirrel? Really? Because I remember what Barack Obama said when he was worried about the election being stolen before he secured the Democrat upper echelon union corruption.
I would just like to know what you can say to reassure us that this election will not be rigged or stolen.
Well, so I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
Really, Karnak? Explains a lot. 312-642-5600.
He believes in freedom, capitalism, and individual liberty. And because of that,
he's become an enemy of the state.
He's Sean Thompson, and this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Death to America and butter sauce. Don't boil me. I'm still alive. Iraq Lobster.
We'll get to Iraq Lobster. We'll get to the Aloha Snack Bar Goat Casanovas. We'll get to it all. But in the meantime, let's stick with the gift that is putting trillions of dollars in the pockets of the most corrupt people in our society.
And if anyone tells you that climate change is a hoax, have them talk to farmers whose crop production is dwindling.
Whoa. Number one, it's an absolute fraud and a hoax and a scam. You've been wrong about everything. But is that mixed in the farm bill where we pay farmers not to plant? You know, the one that the Republicans want. And by the way, all of this money, all of it, including the America Climate Corps.
I'm Joe Biden.
I'm Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I'm Ed Markey.
We're here to share some exciting news with you. Americans can now apply to join the American Climate Corps.
Those who become American Climate Corps members will get paid to fight the impacts of climate change while learning the skills to be part of tomorrow's clean energy and climate resilience workforce.
Right now, we're recruiting for more than 2,000 positions located all across the country. To apply for an American Climate Corps job, visit climatecorps.gov.
We're counting on you.
That in the budget will grow to 50,000 employees per state, 2.5 million. Additional federal workers. That's the scam, all paid for by you. And in the meantime, if that's not bad enough, what they're selling, all of it, is a fraud. What was Bernie Sanders calling it? Solar for all?
Because of drought. Have them talk to firefighters who risk their lives fighting fires with more severity and size than we've ever seen before.
Whatever happened to the two professors who were caught starting the fires that ravaged California? Anything ever happened to them? No, probably not. What happens when you buy those solar panels? That sucks, too.
Well, you've probably seen the ads on TV and online that you may qualify for free solar panels.
Boy, like every single day on the computer somewhere. One elderly Houston couple took the bait, and then they called investigator Amy Davis because they realized they had been hooked and tricked into paying tens of thousands for these so-called free solar panels.
Retirement for 82-year-old Bernard Mosley and his 75-year-old wife, Tasa, means staying on a budget. So when a man knocked on their door in Dumbarton Oaks pitching solar panels in December, Bernard initially said, no, thank you.
I told him, says, we don't have money to purchase it.
This is what's aggravating. They only get the people who can afford it the least, the people who have maybe the best intentions. But listen to how they bankrupt them. Not to mention, this is a very well-known scam in real estate. And if you ever want to sell your house, do not put solar on it.
He said, oh, there's a government grant. It won't cost you anything.
Intrigued, Bernard invited the man and another salesperson inside. She started with a question.
Do you own your home? I said, yeah. She said, oh, well, government grant was going to cover everything.
Did she say why the government would want to give grants to give you free solar panels?
She said it was a test. It was a test that the government was checking the solar panels as far as the productivity, et cetera, et cetera.
In exchange, the Mosleys say the salesperson told them they would have lower electric bills and the panels wouldn't cost them a dime. The couple remember signing one document that day.
One page, and then another page that she just wanted an initial.
They read it, but they didn't get a copy. Within a few weeks, city inspectors posted these permits and papers on their home, and then crews installed the solar panels. But after that first initial meeting, the Mosleys were never able to reach that helpful salesperson again.
She always had an excuse.
By text, the saleswoman told Tasa she was with another customer in court. Then she got COVID. Then all communication stopped, and the bills from Sunrun started.
That your Sunrun solar account has a past due balance.
The letter said the Mosleys were 30 days past due and now owe late fees laid out in their Sunrun contract.
Buy this scam, I dare you. And every company affiliate. Sorry, guys, you're all in on the scam. Every single one of you.
First, my salesman told me that I'd be enrolled in my utility solar rebate program.
Oh, this is another
compensated
another
annually
state.
For solar electric production. However, the provider failed to enroll me in the program. When I discovered this, I contacted the utility but was informed that the opportunity to enroll had been lost, meaning I also lost.
Oh, you missed it by a month. A week, a day, same bull dung scams over and over and over again.
Thousands of dollars in utility rebates that I was counting on to justify the purchase.
After doing my taxes, like accountant says, no, you don't qualify. You have to pay so much in taxes to get the rebate or the tax credit. So I'm out that.
And I said, you know, look, we've already started off poorly here, and I think I'm just going to stop my interaction.
No, you're not, because this is a 20, 25, 30-year mortgage commitment that they do not disclose. And you're going to wear this like a tattoo once you sign that paperwork.
Action with you. And he basically said, oh, okay, well, then we'll just sue you for 15% of the fee.
I was led to believe that the panels would offset 90.
By the way, you know how these companies get paid, Squirrel? When you sign the dotted line? Right away. From where? From you and me and the government. That's why all the scam artist frauds are in on it. You know what else? There's another side effect that happens.
Ranks third in the nation for number of solar panels installed.
Florida.
Enough to power more than a million homes. But accounts for a little more than 5% of the state's electricity.
The business is booming as people look to save money on their electric bills. But there could be consequences to installing solar panels on your home. NBC2's Dave Elias shows you why your insurance company might drop you.
Well, homeowners in Southwest Florida are spending 10...
Good news is, though, you save 8 cents on your electric bill. You have no insurance now, and you got a 30-year mortgage you didn't think you'd have. But you're going to save anywhere from 8 cents to $8. You're going to love it.
Tens of thousands of dollars to get solar panels like these installed on their rooftops. But then they're getting a notice from their home insurer that they're getting dropped.
And while this is going on, all of these fraud companies that got grants and sweetheart loans and all the rest of it, they've got some problems.
Solar industry in California has experienced several high-profile bankruptcies, including one of its largest producers, Peterson Dean.
Now, another local solar company has shuttered, leaving homeowners with unfinished systems on their roofs that aren't producing any power. On your site's Christine Lazar spoke with some of them.
No power? I thought it was going to go back into the grid. They were going to pay you per gigawatt. What happened to all of it? All a freaking scam. But the money that goes out the door to very specific companies in their upper echelon and 30% mysteriously kick back to who?
Have them talk to many thousands of Americans, including many in my own state of Vermont, who have lost their homes because of unprecedented flooding.
What about unprecedented solar contracts that they didn't know?
And if anyone tells you that the United States should not help lead the world in transforming our energy systems away from fossil fuels, understand that they are literally threatening the health and well-being of our children and our grandchildren and the future of the entire planet. And we cannot and will not allow that to happen.
Now off to the idiot mobile. Solar for all.
Go ahead. Put the solar on your house. I dare you. And all of the people who are in on this scam, and they know it's, believe me, they know it's a scam. How's it look for the actual workers? Once again, it's kind of like the union, the UAW guys.
A solar equipment company in Fremont will lay off 350 workers this Friday. They say market conditions are forcing them to do it. But solar advocates say those conditions were created by the state when it changed the rules. John Ramis has that story.
You know what the rules are, Squirrel? See, you can't store energy. So the whole fraud that they send it back to the grid and you get a rebate, all of it a freaking lie that the entire country pays for.
The company manufactures equipment that helps make solar power systems work. But the reason they're laying people off is because the demand for solar has plummeted.
But that's California. It plummeted? Sure it did. But the money that the government kicks out by Republicans signing bills, that's really flying out the door. We'll cover this and I'll take your calls after our next break. 312-642-5600.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
All right, let's go to the line. Scott in Sycamore.
Hey, Sean, how you been?
Good, brother.
You know, I just find all these politicians just hilarious that, you know, they can't solve anything, but if you give them more money, they think they can, they're going to snowball everybody into believing it. And listening to Bernie Sanders and all these other politicians, I know you just played the clip where he was saying, talk to the firefighters fighting these even more, you know, horrible fires. You know what? As a retired firefighter, I can tell you this much. Politicians are the problem. They don't let us cut back the brush. They don't let us do all the preemptive things that we do. And so you get even bigger wildfires because of their policies create all these things. But, you know, they think if they throw money at something or take money away from us, it's going to solve the problem. And the lemmings out there are too stupid and believe everything that these idiots sell.
That's true. But I don't think that they're that magnanimous. I think they, believe me, they understand this is a fraud and a scam. They also understand there is no repercussion when you get caught. Whatever happened to the guys who were at the foot of Solyndra? Did anybody go to jail? Fisker? How about the one with Hillary Clinton, the Duchess of Chaffington's brother, and that idiot McCullough? They just raped the people of millions and they just go on. Bryce in Schaumburg.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Bryce.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I was talking to a few coworkers today, and you know, one of my coworkers was basically yelling and complaining about how his inheritance of this property that he's going to be getting, he's got to pay a load of tax. You know, it's just insane that all these politicians get all this money and the laws and all these policies that they put in place. You know, no matter of what kind of money they get thrown at, it's just like they continue to have the snowballing effect of messing everything up.
Bryce, that's why when I do commercials for Tom Fortino of Alpha Wealth Group, when you have a trust, when you put your property in the right thing, because Illinois doesn't have an inheritance tax, but 17 states do. However, the taxes that he's paying might be because the will wasn't done right, the house is still lagging in probate. I just had a friend of mine today sell a house that's been in his family for 60 years. 60 years. His father had a trust, but the property was not put in it because of a clerical error. The government charged him $5,500 as a caution fee. Then the town he lives in charges him another $2,800 for transfer stamps. So that's when you realize, Bryce, when you're in these states that look at you as somebody who you get to keep the money that they let you, that's how you know you're a slave and you don't own real estate. And that's why, Bryce, I'm going to tell you right now, I refused to sell property in Illinois years ago because Illinois, to me, is one of the worst states to own real property in. But you have to come to that conclusion and your friend. Because if you're going to live your life, I don't care what your job is. If you're going to live your life under this oppression, you're better off making less money in a state that protects your property rights than you are making more money in Illinois. Because they're just going to take it from you. You follow?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. And another really quick topic is, you know, it's interesting of how these politicians can make all these bills and all these, you know, deals right over, you know, right under their knees. You know, how is it fair that they can pass all these bills and all these, agreements and all this stuff.
They've legitimized an industry that is tax-free. There is no taxes on political contributions, on their war chest. Their war chest that they stash millions of dollars in lives beyond their life, and their kids can use it. So these are lawyers that have legitimized political corruption, which is why America is a systemically, politically corrupt country. End the story. Eric in Marengo.
Hey, Sean, just want to say, I see where this is going here. Kind of like the COVID money that got stolen.
Poof!
We're going to set up phony LLCs and...
You mean like the gangbanging scum that was pulled a gun and tried to kill the cops and got shot? He got $22,000 for a transportation company. He didn't have a freaking car. Or the 63 employees in Chicago for Cook County. In the justice system, 63 employees stole millions. Whatever happened to them? They're tiptoeing through the tulips. It's the perfect crime. It's government crime. We'll be back.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer.
I love America. I love the Constitution. I love the First Amendment. I want to carry and own us. I love property. And let me tell you something. If you care about your country, I'll read Ludwig von Mises and the Six Lessons of the Austrian Economic School, mother.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
Once you come to the realization that failed policy is the favored weapon of a corrupt government, they grab more power and more money from the failure. You understand the predicament we're in. One of the greatest policy examples of intended failure that has destroyed the principles of our nation and the peaceful tranquility of our society is Obamacare. There has never been a more obvious failed policy than Obamacare in a shorter period of time. As you look at the results of 14 years, insurance premiums are up 400%, 50% less doctors, 50% less hospitals. And what is the government's solution? To double down on stupid, because they love the power. It's that simple. So what's left are for smart Americans, specifically doctors, to come up with solutions to the government-controlled demolition of our healthcare system. It's not going to come from a Tea Party congressman or senator who has done nothing but use it as an excuse to build their coffers. My next guest is one of those doctors. He is Dr. Chad Savage. He's not only a doctor who started his own Your Choice Direct Care in Brighton, Michigan, he also is a member of Samaritan Ministries International. He is Dr. Chad Savage. Dr. Savage, thank you for joining me. How are you?
My pleasure being on with you, Sean.
Well, this is a predicament that we find ourselves in. You and I talked a few months back. And since then, all that's happened when it comes to government-controlled Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is that it's failed at a greater pace and continues to deliver nothing compared to what this society had prior to Obamacare. But there is some good news, right? Doctors and other people have come up with different ideas, whether it's concierge treatment. But can everybody afford that? What are some other alternatives for people who can't afford concierge medicine?
Yeah, so if I can go back, actually, I really appreciate you bringing up the actual source of a lot of these problems, which is Obamacare itself. And anybody who's tried to access medical care recently will certainly know that what I'm about to say is true, and that's the sad truth, is that American healthcare is collapsing. And the only reason this isn't getting more press is because we happen to have an entire world that's aflame, and so other stories are superseding it, and a lot of people have kind of got burnout on healthcare topics since COVID. But also it's that long-term perspective that if we don't look back to some of the causes of our current problems, we're going to be bound to continue to repeat them. And so you go back to Obamacare, and when that was passed, we predicted that through incrementalism, gradual introduction of really what are very unpopular aspects of that law, that they would essentially start to destroy the healthcare system. In fact, it was so predictable that some people had basically proposed it at the time that it was intentionally designed to fail, and that when it would fail, they would introduce a single-party payer system to come in.
You're on the phone with one of them. 15 years ago, I started calling radio stations. This was obviously the goal, and it's working
perfectly. And then they say, we're
perfectly.
The savior. Look, it worked sweeping in to fix the problem that they created in the first place, and we're seeing that now. You know, when I started practicing about 20 years ago, I could get almost anything done, including advanced surgeries, within 24 to 48 hours. Now, simple screening colonoscopies can take 3 or 4 months. And if we call and plead with the gastroenterologist and say, hey, but this person's symptomatic, they're bleeding rectally, they'll say, oh, okay, well, 2 months. And they say, well, what do I do about that? You know, the guy's bleeding, you know. And they say, well, the only thing you can do then is send him to the ER. So now the ERs are getting inundated with things we used to easily cover as outpatients. And now if you go to the ERs, the wait times are crazy. There are literally people spilling out into the halls. My daughter recently, she plays softball, and she had her hand stepped on by a second baseman and had to go into the hospital and get stitches. And the doctors, the nurses, they all did a great job. They did their best, but they were absolutely overwhelmed. We were seen in a hall. She had to wash out her wound in a public bathroom. And, you know, so not only is she washing out in this unsanitary sink, but the person behind them who just used the restroom has to wash her hands in a sink that just had blood in it. And then the doctor's scurrying around, looking around for any way to suture this up, and he grabs just kind of a random table here or there. He's like, oh, let's try this. And again, he did a good job. She's doing fine. But they should never, in a system that costs $4.5 trillion a year, American healthcare, we should never be stuck in kind of a let's just throw something together and hopefully we can suture this up okay kind of situation. But that's what it's led us to.
Yeah, so, and you know, this is what we see in the flaw of humanity, both the blessing and the curse of humanity, is that we can adapt to terrible circumstances. And what always astonished me when we had the healthcare debate was that the failure of government central healthcare, single payer and all the rest, the failure around the world was never understood. They didn't recognize how well American healthcare had worked, the highest quality. And it's never talked about that 50% less doctors, nurses, and hospitals exist today than they did the year before Obamacare. This is something that I never want to let go, but you have an entire generation that doesn't remember anything but the bronze care, the silver, and the garbage Obamacare, do you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. And actually, it's interesting because, you know, using insurance and using government as an intermediary truly is the recent phenomena if you look at the history of the world. For thousands of years, medical care was a personalized thing. A doctor would even come to your house, but you would pay them directly. And that's why. I mean, actually, house calls went away because Medicare refused to pay for them. It wasn't that doctors just said, I don't want to do that anymore.
Coming to my house. Yeah. I'm that old. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so because of that, so you may not know this, but the reason they stopped was because Medicare refused to pay for it. But it wasn't that expensive back in the day when people paid on their own, because if it was expensive, they wouldn't do it, and that's the inherent price control of the free market system. It actually protects against over-exuberant pricing because people who do go out of business. So it's not an easy thing to work within a free market system. It's pretty tough, but it's the appropriate control for extravagance when it comes to cost and poor quality. Well, now we're inching closer and closer to a single-party system. And so now what we're seeing is you're not the customer anymore as the patient. The insurance company or the government is. So the doctor, unfortunately, split with their attention. They're partly paying attention to you, but they're also very much paying attention to who the payer is, who is, in this case, not you. So we want to really get things reestablished. So seeing this collapse of the system in 2015, I actually left the traditional insurance model. I was in a wonderful, successful practice through a hospital. I took a huge risk in the middle of my life my mortgage, my kids are in school, all these things, to start over. And I started a type of practice which is called direct primary care, where we work right for our patients. And unlike concierge, which is more expensive, direct primary care actually is less expensive because we don't work for the government, we don't work with the insurance companies, and we found that we could cut our cost of operation by more than 50% by doing that, so we could provide unlimited care to patients for as low as $50 a month on the primary care side of the medical equation. Well, that's great. But then it still leaves open, well, what happens if your daughter does get her hand stepped on in a softball game? What if you have to go to the hospital? So you do need coverage for unexpected large bills. And so what we found, what we did is we became consumers just like anybody else. I was now no longer employed by the hospital. I had to find coverage for my family. And I found out about healthcare sharing ministries, which are mostly religiously based organizations that function similarly to insurance, even though they're not technically insurance. They share the expense of medical costs that normally would be picked up by an insurance company, but they're faith-based, so they're not violating your belief system, and they're dramatically cheaper. And so when my daughter had her hand stepped on, we went to the ER, and that was the first time, having been a member for about 8 years at that point, that we had to put the program to the test. And I'm very happy to say, as those bills came in, Samaritan and their members stepped up and paid for those bills, which was a great relief, considering that they were about $20,000 a year less than the Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance product that we previously had.
Well, I can't tell you how much I can't stand that company. That is a quasi-government corrupt entity. It's fascinating that people refuse to really look into the profitability of Obamacare for that specific health insurer. They've never paid out less, never had better profits. And you know, you started the interview and you said something that I find very interesting, and that's that the American healthcare sector is $4.5 trillion a year. Trillion.
Yep.
What was it?
Context, if you put that into context of gross domestic product of a nation, it would be the third largest economy in the world, above Germany and Japan, only behind the United States and China. So our national spend on healthcare. The federal government alone is right around $1.8 trillion, which makes it larger than the entire economy of Mexico, including their healthcare.
But life expectancy in this country in the year 2023 is at the lowest it's been in the last 70 years. So,
correct, and it's actually going down.
And it's going down.
We're losing life expectancy.
Well, and the other reason is because doctors and nurses, really, that are left, the ones who were very good at things, either went into private practice or concierge medicine, and some of them just retired. So now we have this new crop of doctors, and we have this new implementation of all kinds of nonsense in hiring people who are unqualified by academics but qualified for other reasons. So is there ever been a study done recently on the fact that it appears, if you just looked at it, the American healthcare system sucks compared to as it did before Obamacare?
Yeah, I can't speak to one specific study. I can tell you that there are many studies that have looked at that quality of care that's gone down. But actually, one thing that's really interesting is the psychology of medicine has changed, too. And I'm old enough to have seen, I've been around over 20 years in the practice of medicine, to see that there's a change. It used to be thought that doctors were independent thinkers, and they used to say that, you know, getting doctors organized was like herding cats. Well, that was a problem for those who wanted a centralized control. You needed yes men, a bunch of yes men. And in fact, they thought that our training was so bad that insurance companies started opening medical schools. And people say, what do you mean by that? Kaiser Permanente, which is one of the largest insurers on the West Coast, has a medical school. And the concept was to get people who were like-minded, that basically would follow algorithms, wouldn't question commands. And this may seem like an extravagant claim, but this is very much, when they were opening, they put it in more flowery terms than I'm doing now, but that was very much their underlying premise. And they now have med schools specifically training doctors to basically just follow orders, because that follows along the HMO, the type of model that they're running over there. They don't want independent thinkers who are going to rock the boat. But I'll tell you, if you're sick and you fall outside of a pleasant little algorithm, you want a doctor who can see the uniqueness of your problem and is going to fight for you every step of the way.
So I looked into this Kaiser Permanente specifically because they, I don't know if you remember, but it was only about 3-4 months ago, they were infiltrated by the labor extortion mafia in their unions. And it was funny to watch, because it was their nurses and their pharmacy that was hit, and they were threatening to strike. Well, it turns out they lost $4.5 billion in the year 2023. And when you realize that even this conglomerate of what I think is the intended goal of single payer and where it will end up, the reality is it's just going to get worse. And much like everything that happens under government control, today is what you'll refer to as the good old days. What is the outlook for the future as you see people become used to failure and government control? Or are you seeing growth in the alternative, your other project? Is that where the growth is?
Yeah, I see both, unfortunately. So, and I don't know which is going to win yet. I know where I want to win. I want freedom and cost effectiveness and everything else to win. But there is a complacency amongst the American populace that just seem to be accepting decline, which is something I hope we never accept. That's really depressing. But I will say that there's a glimmer of hope, and that is that the alternatives, like direct primary care, like health sharing ministries, are actually really, really expanding very rapidly. When I started my direct primary care practice, which is an insurance-free practice, we work on a monthly basis. I'm not getting anybody from Chicago, so this is not a sales pitch. But again, $50 to $80, people see us as much as they want per month. We have in-house pharmacies where we can get medications like blood pressure medications, a three-month supply for as low as 75 cents. We sell them at cost to the patient to make our membership more affordable to them. We do at-cost meds, labs, and imaging studies. But anyway, that's exploding. We had several dozen of us in the nation when we started, and now we just had a big conference in Orlando with hundreds of docs who attended, and it's estimated that it's now in the several thousand of practices nationally. So it's growing fast, but since it started so small, even growing at a logarithmic scale, essentially, it's going to take a while. And in fact, we'll probably never fully take over. You're going to have people who want to stay in that insurance model, who want to stay with, understand why, but
it's a corrupt scheme where even though the pot gets smaller and smaller, the payoffs to those that are complacent get bigger and bigger. And this is something that has been an argument since the 60s, since the beginning of all of the failed policies of centralized insurer control and cooperation with government. But I have a twofold question for you. The insurance companies that existed prior to Obamacare were three times the insurance companies, maybe more, that exist today. What happened to those insurance companies? And why haven't they come up with an entire new area to specifically work hand in glove with the alternatives? Or do you just simply not need them because they were really never needed in the first place, because it was always about doctors getting paid on time? And if they get paid on time, they don't have to go after big expenses. They can charge less if they know they're going to get their money when the people walk out the door, the way it was prior to insurance companies. So, that to me is where did they go, and why aren't they putting up a bigger fight about being put out of business?
Yeah, well, there's always a lot of them got simply bought up by the bigger players in their area. So they weren't complaining because they got bought up.
Golden parachute.
It's just, we call them insurance companies. But are they really insurance companies?
No.
Is another entire topic. I don't mean to go too much off on a tangent here from your original question. But insurance, in its principle, is a small expense that you pay for rare, unexpected, catastrophically large medical expenses.
Correct.
That is not what we have in the United States today. The average family premium is somewhere around $26,000. So to put that into context, if you went to the Oklahoma Surgical Center, which is a surgical center that's cash-based down in Oklahoma, it's around $12,000 for a lumbar laminectomy, which is spine surgery. Mm-hmm. That's whole price. Pre-op surgery, surgical fee, yeah. Anesthesia, et cetera. It's a wrap price. There's no surprise bills after the fact. Yeah. That means, the average family premium, average family could have two spine surgeries in their family per year and have $1,000 left over when it's done versus buying that insurance. That is absolutely preposterous that we're spending anywhere near two spine surgeries for every family in America every year.
In Cook County, that same surgery will cost you $400,000. That's the other caveat. The answer has always been incentivize the doctor through tax benefits, where if the doctor gives away health care to people who can't afford it, he just writes it off on his taxes. But that would mean that the government doesn't have control. And that's why that will never be permitted, because this is an answer that has come about since the 50s. They wanted to do that. And think about it. If you allowed hospitals to keep their own money, doctors to keep their own money, you'd have a thriving private sector. And instead of half the amount of doctors in hospitals, you'd have five times what you have today. So they don't want to look at the real answer. They like the control. And that's what you give the people, is control through your other project that we really have to get into, the Samaritan Ministries International. Tell us just a little bit about that.
So, yeah, again, they're an alternative to traditional insurance. So they actually, when Obamacare had the penalty for coverage, which think about that if you want to talk about government corruption. So the insurance companies would take your premium, lobby the government with the money you just gave them to beat you over the head with it by making you buy their product. They had an insurance mandate. You had to buy their product. That's a heck of a power to be able to have the government tell everybody to buy it. Well, actually, there was, thankfully, a stipulation within ACA that said if you had a health-sharing ministry that actually qualified, as long as it was one of several that were old enough, and Samaritan Ministries was one of them. Now, when the Trump administration came around, they lowered the penalty to zero, thus neutering it, but it is actually still there. And Biden, he hasn't done it yet, but actually before he came into office, he said he would reintroduce the insurance mandate. Thankfully, he hasn't done it yet, and I shouldn't give him any ideas.
Well, he's waiting for the second steal.
There.
You know, in the meantime, Doc, you're going to lose money on a guy like me because I'm determined to die violently. So I'm not interested in healthcare. But for everybody who is, where do you recommend that they go to check you out?
Well, SamaritanMinistries.org is the organization that I personally am a member of. My family is a member of. If people are interested in learning about alternative practices that actually work for you and have unlimited access, it's not they're all independent practices that just have a shared practice model. DPC Frontier has a mapper. You can find out if there's practices near you that practice that. And I know there are a number in the Chicago area that do that.
Now, Doc, when I smoke 5 cigars a day, I don't feel quite as good as when I smoke 7 cigars a day. What do you think that's called?
Confirmation bias.
Thank you very much. He is Dr. Chad Savage. Thank you for making time for me. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
I'm still mad since they passed Obamacare. The big rise of the Tea Party will send Joe Walsh, that con artist, short-in-the-pants fraud, can't pay an electric bill without calling his brother. We'll send Adam Kinzinger. What happened? Got Sangul. 14 years, and now nobody even talks about it. Ah, you're used to it. $2,500 a month. A month? How many businesses and individuals bankrupted? Ah, that's all right. In the meantime, how about your company? How much does it pay? If you're lucky enough to be blind to the cost, wouldn't you rather have that $2,500 a month? Nah, the government deserves it. After all, they have solar panel schemes. Ron on the south side.
Hey, Sean, look here, man. This is one issue I'm glad that you're talking about it, because this is the issue why I didn't vote for Donald Trump. He said that the Republicans were going to offer a better health care program. He had 4 years, and he did nothing. See, and I'm just going to tell you, I was fortunate in the 40 years that I worked, very fortunate to have very, very good insurance. But the one thing, I'm compassionate about people. The worst thing that can happen is people get sick and with no insurance, no fault of their own, and you're in bankrupt, your life is never the same. So he did not deliver. I keep hearing, see, it's easy. And I have no use for Obama, no use for government-run entities, period. But it's easy to criticize a program or a person and not offer an alternative. So that's all I have to say.
No, Ron, stay on the line, because the solution has been there since the 50s. The solution has been there when this country used to have actual smart people talk about it. Doesn't happen anymore. The solution is to incentivize the provider to keep their money through giving them tax rebates of their own money. So in other words, if a doctor who is a fantastic heart surgeon, a doctor, years ago, they made a lot of money. You remember when doctors used to make a lot of money? You know, by the way, they don't make money like that anymore. You allow them to keep what they would owe in taxes if they treat those people you're talking about, because doctors are compassionate as well. So if they treat somebody who cannot pay, instead of them owing $100,000 in taxes, take $100,000 off. Now you owe nothing in taxes. That's always been the best way to provide the great care to society. But what you've done now is make those doctors who made good money, they just retired, Ron. They just retired. And now what you have left are these simpletons. Sorry, boys, but you are. And that's why the death rate is down. They want to blame COVID. They want to blame the vaccine. Fact of the matter is, what's left in the work pool of doctors, for the most part, are not the good ones anymore. They went their own way. Now you get what government always delivers you. Equality through mediocrity, through poverty, through failure. That's what government healthcare is. That's why in all those years, Ron, when they were talking about, Europe has single payer. The European healthcare system sucks. People are waiting in the hallway screaming like it was the Middle Ages. That's what you have happening now. And the answer is always to give the best people their own money, the best hospitals their own money. But they didn't want to do that because there's not a lot of corruption in it. The health insurance business is a fracking scam. Always has been. And the biggest scam artists are the ones you see still standing. You want to fix healthcare? Get rid of health insurance. Thank you very much, Ron. Nothing. My offer to you is this: nothing. Pay for it. How many of you spend $30,000 a year in healthcare? You're just offsetting the dingbats. Sorry, guys, you just are. And because what's included in healthcare costs are these dizzy fourth and fifth wives who have lips that look like shoes on their face. That's all in there. I feel good. They got the Botox face. They take it from their ghoul and stick it in their chin. All covered. Sickening. Red, Elmwood Park.
Yeah, you got a great show.
Thank you, Red.
You know, my health care went down when they came out with HMOs.
Yeah.
And then I was what they called indigent, and I went to Cook County. Finest health care I got. When I got insurance, the county hospital wouldn't take my insurance. Can you believe that?
Well, I like what it says on the board, because the reality is, you have to understand, to me, the way I look at it is, are you willing to take away from your neighbor so you could pretend that you're getting health care? And the answer should be no, because nobody gets out of this game alive. Nobody. But yet nobody thinks about that.
Tell you what, when my company switched to HMO and the insurance company spoke to the employees, fella stood up and says, "Don't get sick. Just die." And the boss says, "The meeting is over. We'll have the same insurance back tomorrow."
Now tell me, I haven't been there in a long time. How's Elmwood Park going? Is it all right? Are you on the north side or the south side? Where are you?
I'm on the poor side.
Yeah. Well, all right. But that's all right. It's still a decent area, right?
You got to stay away from Harlem Avenue.
Well, it's like everything else. The closer you get to the city, the more dangerous it gets. Do you know I wanted the Christopher Columbus statue to be in the circle? I thought that would have been perfect, don't you?
Well, I lived there when all they had was a fountain in the circle.
Oh, man. I used to go there and get punched in the face probably biweekly. Thank you very much, Red. I appreciate it very much.
Have fun.
You too. Thank you. I am having a blast. Rich, Indian Head Park. What are you doing,
hey,
kid?
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, and I was thinking about you today. I'm going to tell you why. I went and I went to work. I showed a couple properties. I was hungry. I went to this little place that I love to go to by my neighborhood. And when I pull out, there's an old Chevy Blazer, an old one. And you really don't see them that much. And in the rear window, it had combat Vietnam veteran. And he had the Purple Heart. He had the MIA sticker. And on the other side of the window, he had resist tyranny. And I was thinking about you, and here he was. You know, you guys are getting older, the Vietnam guys. You're getting older, and it's sad, because I need all of you to be 35, 45, 50 again.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, yeah. But go ahead. What do you got?
What do I have? I think it's time for all of these colleges around the country to start following the lead of the colleges in Florida to start protecting these Jewish students from all these demonstrations against them. And also, I think that these governors of these states should follow DeSantis's lead. And if there's any of these students are talking these hate crimes and or hate speech, I mean, and going after these Jewish students, they should not only be going to be arrested.
Well, it's interesting.
But they're going to be expelled from college. And the ones that are on visas, they're going to deport them.
It's entering physical intimidation now. You see the kids in Northwestern shoving the cops and the rest of it. So I don't mind what kids say, because you look at these bust-out morons today, never paid an electric bill in their life. I'd give a rip what they say. But the nice thing that they did down here in Florida is, if you block traffic, you could protest all you want, but if you block traffic, it's a felony, and you'll do 4 years. Now, who wants to block traffic? See, that's the way we do it down here. Go ahead. Block traffic, I dare you. You'll sit your ass in a cell for 4 years. Not that it's useless. It's useful anyway. Useless bums. Jim in South Elgin.
Well, a couple things. When it comes to health care, you know, Texas passed tort reform on non-economic damages years ago.
I don't like tort reform. Because if a doctor screws up, he should lose his boat. I'm not one of those for tort reform. Well, if a doctor screws up, take everything he's got, including his wife's rings. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, it just lowers the cost of malpractice, so a lot of people go there and practice.
Yeah, but I don't need some dingbat who was in the parking lot with his girlfriend doing an eight ball and then come in and do surgery, and I'm supposed to pretend he's still good at it. I want him to lose everything. All right, what else you got?
Well, I mean, there's medical disciplinary reports, but it also applies to
I don't want your discipline. I want you bankrupted, Jim. Don't give a rip about protecting incompetence, whether it's in the private sector or government.
Well, okay.
You're going to have to save that for another Republican show who thinks Mike Johnson is a good Republican. Go ahead.
I didn't say, well, anyways, a good friend of mine lives in Tucson, and he put electrical system on his house, but he paid for it, so he's not beholden to these guys. He said there's a lot of scams, so you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But if you buy it outright,
your friend's a little soft in the noggin, too. You paid $60,000 to save $800 a year. Good luck. I hope he lives to be 200. Thank you very much. I blew away both your points. George in Naperville.
Yeah, Sean, I think I diagnosed why Biden's unsteady on his feet. The party tilts everything in his direction to help him. They stole the election. And I'll tell you, the poor guy's on a tilt-a-wheel like at Kittyland.
Tell you what, but he's still above ground somehow. You see him walking like a drunk baby on wet grass. I don't know. So I think the NSA's got your phone, kid. Lee and Hammond.
Hey, Sean. Hey, you know, this healthcare thing. In Canada, the government got their greasy hands involved with healthcare a while back.
Now they're killing you.
Social medicine.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to the point to where people are having such a hard time getting medical care that they're telling the older people they're offering them euthanasia.
Lee, I had the clip.
Right,
I didn't play it the other day.
Put you to sleep. And if anybody doesn't think that's not coming here, you got another thing coming.
Oh, I got the clip, Lee. Did you see the trucker in Canada? The truck driver in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
All he needed was spine surgery. He couldn't take the pain. They killed him.
Biden's idea of socialistic government. That's where you go with that.
Yeah, because if you're on the inside, like one of those half-assed wannabe upper echelons of the union that never put a tool butt on or worked a day in their life, you got the clout. You get the good surgery. But if you don't, we like Ukraine, go in the hallway and grunt. 312-642-5600.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Squirrel, sometimes when it comes to vulnerable parts of our society, there's nothing more profitable than a non-for-profit. All wired in with the Democrat short-in-the-pants mafia. Drew in the Western Burbs, what's your experience in this arena?
Well, you know, I'm all for corporations making a good profit, good margin, return on value to shareholders, et cetera. However, all the big hospital systems are all quote-unquote non-profit. They make financials that would make a publicly traded Wall Street firm blush. Yeah. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, these nonprofit hospitals don't even pay their state taxes. They get bonds tax-free. So
it's like Al Sharpton.
Honestly, if everyone, well, basically, yeah, if people are upset about the insurance companies, rightly so, but people should be upset next time they go to the big hospital and they're paying $5,000 for an MRI that an off-site MRI facility would charge you, you know, $1,500 for.
Yeah.
So people should be upset about that, and people are lining up to go to these big hospitals. So that's the problem.
Non-profitable hospitals make me upset, and when I see a Mercedes-Benz that costs $180,000 with a license plate that says I save them, that makes me upset too. Thank you very much, Drew. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Squirrel? In Melrose Park, there was a scam artist, Reverend, who used to drive through Melrose Park. I'm going back when a Mercedes was rare. Tooling around in a big white Mercedes, all dolled up, and on the plates it says I save them. And he was one of those storefront preachers. Oh, boy. That's aggravating. Aggravates the hell out of me. Dan in Salem, Wisconsin.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Democrats are selling, but I'm not buying. Well, they are an atrocious to this country. They have a mental disorder. They belong in mental institution.
Well, I don't know. It's not really that stupid when you think about the kind of money we're making. I mean, after all, When it comes to this solar business, $5 trillion, and under Biden, in the next 4 years, that will grow to $10 trillion, all in the name of a fraud. That's not really dumb. That's genius. The people who believe it, now there, that's where the dumb comes in.
All of which brings us to why we are here today.
Uh-huh.
I am proud to have worked for a number of years on a program that will cut carbon emissions.
Emissions?
Will substantially lower the electric bills for some 900,000 Americans.
Uh-huh.
And in the process, will create thousands of good-paying jobs.
Magic beans. Is it magic bean squirrel? I don't think it is.
This legislation, Solar for All, is a win for the environment, a win for consumers.
Except when you think about all of the products, all of the massive holes you have to dig for that phony solar panel. You have to be an absolute moron, or even worse, in on it. Ah. Mark in Plainfield.
Sean, you're 100% correct when you say get rid of the health insurance. And this is why they rake you over the coals. I pay $200 every other week just to participate in my company's health insurance. And they're paying at least double that. And how often do I see a doctor? Maybe a couple times a year. So think about it.
How about when you have somebody that goes to the doctor? When you have like a kid or somebody goes to the doctor and they get the bill and then you still get hit with another $800. And they tell you, oh, you're lucky. You got just another, what, $8,000 before you hit your deductible.
Right.
Are you out of your mind?
The $3,000 taken out of my paycheck, I do not give that to the doctors. It might be like half of that. And then that's $1,500 in my pocket, not to mention what my company's paying, which is probably about another $10,000, which
sure
also goes into my pocket. So that's an extra $1,000 a month I could be banking away.
All at least.
Catastrophic in case we get hit by a truck and we need to be in intensive care.
But it's kind of like, you know, when you really think about it, Mark, you've inspired me. They're selling that phony psychology of safety in this bull dung, I almost swore, bull dung insurance, Obamacare, and in this bull dung green energy. They're selling you that nonsense. You're going to be okay. Sure, you'll be bankrupted, but you'll be okay. And that's how you know it's a government scam. Absolutely. Because I didn't hear Bernie Sanders talk about any of the real problems.
Has tips on what to do if this happens to you. How infuriating.
I know, you know, and I get a lot of solar emails. And I will say, we put solar on our own home. And before I did it, everybody who came into the house, I was like, listen, I get a lot of emails about the solar industry. So you're on notice.
Yeah.
See, then if you're wired up, maybe you get the fair deal like an investigative reporter. We'll be back.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me.
When you realize that our country is built on the philosophy of the Enlightenment, you understand that a key component of that philosophy is the right to your property, both intellectual and what is derived from your work. The Enlightenment philosophers are numerous, but all consistent. David Hume is the philosopher who once understood that without stable property ownership, you cannot have a stable society. My next guest is an attorney who was inspired by that philosophy. He is a senior attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. He joined in 2014, concentrates specifically on property right litigation and policy. He is attorney Mark Miller. Thank you for joining me, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Nice to be with you, Sean.
It's astonishing to me as you watch our government that is supposed to protect those principles, bastardize them, and attack them time in and time out. And I'm wondering, where can we have a final stronghold? What we see recently with the massive amount of homelessness and squatters' rights versus property owner rights, I think that's a good place to start, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Squatters' rights has been in the news. I know it's a big deal in Chicago. It's been a problem for a while, also in New York and here in Florida where I am. It's really remarkable how our well-meaning legislators have allowed trespassers, who are basically stealing property, to be treated as tenants and taking over property for months, if not years at a time. I know Pacific Legal Foundation has been on the air in Chicago talking about that as an ongoing problem.
Well, what's beautiful to watch, as far as I'm concerned, is the different approach to who has the right to the property, as far as I can see it. So in the mafia-controlled, once great city, now true ghetto, Chicago, it's interesting to watch how the predator and the squatter and the person who didn't acquire or suffer or pay for the property has the protection of the government, versus in Florida, where the property owner himself, the one who paid and worried and kept up the property, has the rights. And it's a stark difference. And in there lies an opportunity to explain and show the rest of the country. Do you prefer to become Chicago, or do you prefer the peace in a society of Florida, right?
That's absolutely right. And Sean, what I'm here to tell you, I feel a little bit like an evangelical for property rights, evangelical minister. New York, of all places, and it has not made too much national news yet, but I do expect it to explode when it does. Because of the controversies in Queens, where Ms. Adele Andalora was arrested for changing the locks on her own home to get squatters out. She was arrested because they said that's illegal, because they're treated like renters, even though they had nothing to do. She has never had any relationship with them. The New York State Legislature, as blue as it is, just fixed this week, they passed legislation to say that a squatter is a trespasser and can be immediately evicted, no different than Governor DeSantis. And the governor has signed it into law. And so there is hope for the blue yes. states and the blue cities like Chicago.
Well, you know, Mark, I understood very early on, because I'm from Chicago, and you watch how the government is truly a mafia, and how they are constantly working to chip away the principles of property rights, because that's what our whole country is based on. You know, even when it comes to our form of an economy, it's called capitalism, but it's really propertyism. And you watch how it's been normalized now to take someone's property, be it their income, and now they're making the bold step to go after the real property. And I don't think there's any coincidence in how they've also attacked, on a certain level, attorneys specializing in real estate and real estate brokers and facilitators of real estate transactions. Because what they understand is you've got a tremendous amount of Americans who understand the premise of property rights. And that's the real challenge to a government that wants to undermine it. I'm wondering, do you think there's a correlation there?
I think that, and I go back to where you started, you know, this idea of David Hume, one of the Enlightenment, you know, who inspired the founding fathers, Enlightenment leaders. His point about stable society based on stable property rights. Stable property rights reflect that we trust each other at some level, that you're not going to come in and try and steal my property, or if you are, the government is going to immediately arrest you for theft. Ultimately, that's what New York just said and Florida says. The problem when the government does not protect our property rights is we lose trust in each other and society becomes unstable. And that's what we're seeing is society destabilized. We're seeing that in the big city. It's why the Supreme Court had to deal with the homeless encampment case earlier this week in one of the many blockbuster cases it heard this week at the Supreme Court. And it all has to do, at the end of the day, whether it's housing prices, whether it's real estate attorneys, it has to do with protecting property rights being the basis of this country, just as you said.
But Mark, I'm gonna tell you, I do blame a lot of the attorneys of one philosophy specifically, but the other attorneys that understood that law was always to be the shield versus the spear. But it's interesting when you see what came out of Chicago, Saul Alinsky, the Marxist mafia headquarters and capital of our nation, Barack Obama, who openly bastardized the principle of law. In particular, he broke the covenant with American real estate owners, citizens, by telling them in very specific key Democrat heavily controlled areas like Illinois, you're not taxed anymore on the ad valorem system. You're taxed on the liability of the government, both municipal, county, and state. They have the opportunity now to take property owners and not tax them because their house is worth $300,000, but because the municipality and the county and the state that they're in have massive legacy costs of corruption in pension and employment contracts. So at that moment, there was really zero pushback that I saw from the rest of the good lawyers. Why did they go so quietly into a Soviet-style backdoor nationalization of property?
Well, that's a heck of a question. I will say that, you know, we certainly, and I work at a nonprofit, so I can't be political, but certainly your point about Barack Obama coming from Illinois and Alan Keyes and whoever was supposed to be running against President, what was then Mr. Obama, you know, Illinois did kind of, well, I don't want to say because I work.
Brother, you don't have to, but this is my audience. They know this is a wise guy, half-ass mafia. The problem I have with this mafia is that half of them aren't even heterosexual anymore, but I don't want you to lose your license. So you just stick to, why did so many good lawyers just go quietly into the fact that the government broke its number one covenant? You are not to tax me into poverty and take away the equity through your liability, but that's exactly what happens. And I watch my listeners are drowning in what has become normalized, the disconnect between an ad valorem tax basis and the liability of the corrupt government they happen to live in.
Well, I think, not that I'm defending the lawyers, but I'm going to compare it to our clients at Pacific Legal. I work for a nonprofit, and I'm going to compare it to the political world where I worked for Governor Kristi Noem for 3 years as her chief of staff. And the thing is, too many people just want to go along to get along. So whether it's lawyers, as you're describing, whether it's our clients are the ones who say, I'm not going to go along to get along. I'm going to stand up to government abuse of power and sue them. And that's who Pacific Legal represents. And then working for Kristi Noem up in South Dakota, what I saw was many legislators, whether you call them rhinos or anything else, they wanted to go along to get along, do what the lobbyists told them to do, to, you know, get their little credit, get attention in their community, and not make waves. But there were some legislators and one governor, Kristi Noem, who were willing to stand up and say, no, we're going to stand up for American rights and property rights and make a difference. And we just need more people, whether it's lawyers, more citizens, or more legislators who stand up for American rights.
You know, there's so much. I think that Illinois and Chicago specifically is the example that should be used to shock fear into those people that are unfamiliar with how the government has become an extortionist. And what you see in Chicago is very interesting. And you see the profitability of corruption in tax auctions and probate. This is something that very few people that haven't been victimized by it or are not professional in the industry even understand. So in Chicago, we have a tremendous amount of elected aldermen. I call them 50 thieves in Chicago. You have state reps and the rest of them, all lawyers, all practicing in tax legal advice. And you hire them and they bring your case to a judge that happens to be of the same neighborhood and same ideology. And individuals have their property taxes lowered. But what people don't understand is that liability doesn't go poof, it is thrust upon the commercial sector of the real estate business. And now what you see is people abandoning commercial property that was valuable 6 years ago, 7 years ago. You're seeing massive properties in the loop of the financial district sell for 10% of what they sold for 7 years ago. So at a certain point, the snake eats its tail and tells everyone what a great hunter it is, but it starts to die. And I think that's what you're seeing in these really corrupt cities like my formerly great city, Chicago. How much longer can they keep the lid on that failure?
Well, you know, what's our national debt? You know, $36 trillion, whatever it is. Yeah. And then what's your debt there in Illinois? What's our debt in New York? What's our debt in California? At some point, the chickens will come home to roost. And it's up to us to, you know, rein in the government and rein in the government abuse. And that's what we try to do with Pacific Legal. And I know that's what you're trying to do, Sean, on the air. And at some point, you know, you feel like you're, you know, you have a teaspoon and you're bailing out the ocean.
Because you can't sue the government.
Well, You know, we do sue the government. I will tell you, Pacific Legal, we sue Illinois over that, you know, some of that tax shenanigans you were talking about with theft. We sue states all over the country. We work within the state legislatures. It's not easy in Illinois. Obviously, you do have the great Illinois Policy Institute with John Tillman, my friend John Tillman. But you know, we need to get better people elected. And certainly, Illinois is a great example. We have elected good Republicans in Illinois. And we just need to get more of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not the good Republicans.
I mean, I love you. I'm going to make an honorary Chicagoan after the phone call. But the reality is there might be three. And the rest of them go on to be lobbyists. But the funny thing is that there is always an opportunity. And to me, the opportunity is ironically in these very obvious failed states. California is a great one. where now they're talking about putting homeless, that they've created the homeless situation beyond the shadow of a doubt. But they want to cover it up by once again putting homeless in Santa Monica in a $1.8 million condo complex. They're going to put, I don't know how many homeless in a four-bedroom condo that somehow they've acquired use over. How does this work where the government can acquire rights over ownership just because someone isn't there amount of time? What exactly is going on? Because, you know, to me, California makes fascism look stylish. So can we see an opportunity to push back against this obvious insanity and seizure of property?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Not only can we see it, we need to seize it, seize the opportunity. And the fact, just like I said about Illinois, in California, we had great governors and somehow things got sideways, but we can get it back. Florida is a great example. When Governor Jeb Bush won the election, it was very close. When President Bush won Florida in 2000, it was 50-50. Now, as we saw, you know, Governor DeSantis won bigly, as they say.
Bigly, yes.
And, you know, yeah. So
went my California, whole life without knowing you could say that until like 4 years ago, 5-6 years ago. Yeah.
Santa Monica. Yeah. So sure, Santa Monica is a great example. I think it's going to be 102 homeless for $102 million. And that doesn't make any sense. That's putting taxpayer money where it could be spent much better on parks or something for the community. Instead, because of Supreme Court not stepping in and saying we don't owe the homeless a place to sleep, at least until now, hopefully the Supreme Court's going to address this issue, Santa Monica thinks they have to spend this money on the homeless. I think what you're going to see is the Supreme Court reining that in the Grants Pass case, which is out of Oregon, but it severely impacts California. Heck, Governor Newsom even sided with the cities and said, yeah, we don't owe the homeless a place to sleep under the Constitution. We may want to provide them or help them to get off the drugs or get through the mental illness, but there's a difference between trying to help versus being demanded that you have to give them housing. Santa Monica, I think, has gotten sideways there.
Well, you know what's funny is that California is right now, as we speak, embroiled in a major controversy where they cannot account for $24 billion spent on the homeless crisis in the last 2 years. That seems like a lot of money. And at a certain point, when are governments that can't account for money? I mean, we're not taking on the Pentagon here, who admits we don't know where 50 cents of every dollar goes. You're talking about one state, $24 billion, and you can't show me anything? Who can come in and stop that? Is that the federal government's job to come in? Is that a law firm to come in, a non-for-profit, and say, look, you guys can't steal or misappropriate or just not account for $24 billion. I mean, you know, we're numb because we have the kind of failures we have where we talk about trillions. But the reality is $1 billion is $1,000 million. What do you mean you can't account for 24 of those?
Well, and you know, what's amazing about it is the Reagan administration was the first administration to even really look at spending money on the homeless at all. And the number was nowhere near for the whole country. You know, in the 80s, what we're now seeing, as you said, in one state of $24 billion, which again, to me, suggests we need to elect people, regardless of party, because certainly there's Senator Fetterman in Pennsylvania who's become very interesting. So it doesn't matter party. Yes. They have to have the right beliefs about resizing the government. And
I'll
think
tell you what,
the country can do it. It's just going to take time.
He's better than Oz would have been, as far as I'm concerned, on a lot of topics. It's fun to watch him rebuild his brain. I think he's finally coming on to some conclusions. But there's another interesting argument, because I'm also about the principle of things rather than the so-called talking point of the day of a party. And the principle is interesting to me because American citizens are free. If I decide, and I used to love old movies and reading about the Great Depression, but ultimately, if I decide to be a hobo and I don't break any laws, but I'm a hobo and I want to walk and sleep in a park or whatever the case is, have I become illegal? How do you trespass as the public on public land?
Well, I think that it's really no different. In fact, the case really gets at that very issue, that if you're homeless and you say, I have a right to sleep on public property, well, why don't you sleep on private property? Because that would be trespassing.
Correct.
So when you take the public property to sleep, you're interfering with the rest of the public who wants to walk through that park, who maybe wants to walk on the sidewalk, who doesn't want to deal with the feces and the urination and all the rest.
But you could be a law-abiding homeless guy. And I'll tell you why I think of this. Because sometimes we get caught up in specificity. But the reality is that America is very interesting. They pretend that it's overpopulated, but we have less than 6% development. The federal government owns hundreds of millions of acres. Now, they may pretend to allow drilling or whatever the case is, but somehow they've acquired absolute and total control. Why isn't that the homeless people can go into the forest preserves, into the natural areas of, in particular, California, which has tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of government-controlled land? We're only really fractionally developed. There's obviously enough room for people that don't want to work. Instead of a solution of taking condos, why not say, go into the forest preserve? I mean, you know, it should be something more useful than just Republicans on lunch break.
Well, I think you're getting at individual responsibility. And I totally agree with you about the fact that there's millions of acres. You know, it's incredible. And, you know, having worked in South Dakota for 3 years,
yeah,
the amount of empty space. I had a friend who visited the state, and as she was driving across, she said, "Does anybody live here?" Because you could go very long in South Dakota without seeing another car. And yeah, why don't people want to live there? I can't say, but I agree with you that there's plenty of space. People need to spread out. People need to look for jobs outside of San Francisco or outside of Chicago. And they'll find opportunities. And that's part of the can-do American spirit that we do need to see. We don't depend on other people. We give people a help, you know, a hand up,
yes,
you know, and help them find a job or help them get off drugs, but not a handout, not a free place to sleep if they're homeless forever, not a right to sleep, if you will, if you're homeless.
Yeah. So how do you think the case goes that's before the Supreme Court?
So I think after listening to the oral argument on Monday, I think you're going to see that the Supreme Court's going to agree, almost all of them, not all of them, but most of them are going to agree that there's no constitutional right to a public place to sleep. What they do then, I don't know. I don't know how that helps Chicago. I know out in the West Coast, in like San Francisco, Portland, Phoenix, it will make a major change for the good, because these cities have had to just put up with these encampments that have basically become no-go zones, and businesses,
yes,
that are in those no-go zones go out of business. It affects property rights for sure, and so now cities will be able to deal with it. I don't know what the court will do exactly, but they're going to say there's no constitutional right to sleep on public property.
I was hoping this would spill over to the ridiculous regulations the California government has put in the name of climate change and the rest of it on people who actually did want to solve that solution with temporary housing, with small housing. One of my favorite stories is the guy who was in the porta potty business who wanted to donate the porta potty to San Francisco, and San Francisco took his donated porta potty and turned it into a $1.8 million bill for the taxpayers. You know, at a certain point, we have to start to restrain the only entity in this entire country that's never restrained, and that's governments, whether it be state, local municipalities, or federal. I don't know where the restraints are on government.
Yeah, and that's the voters. We're the restraint. That's what the Founding Fathers set up. We've got to rein them in. And that's what people sometimes throw their hands on. There's too many voters who don't understand that. But that is, I like to use Florida as an example, because in the year 2000, Florida was a 50-50 state. But now you see a state that's much more interested in individual rights and protecting property rights. And that was just 20 years of hard work to educate Floridians. Actually, a lot of people moving here from the Northeast and from the Midwest, retirees who knew what they saw in the blue states. And they said, no, we want something better.
You know, I talk about this often because to me, the only thing you're in charge of is yourself. And secession by foot is greater than pretending that these legacy corrupt areas are going to turn around. I love that about you. What part of Florida are you in, Mark?
So I'm just a little bit above President Trump, one county above Palm Beach on the East Coast.
I've
been here about 20 years.
Well, see, I'm on the West Coast because I don't even want to see a Democrat. So I like it over in Collier County. But in the meantime, if I ever go over, we'll go over to that that steakhouse in the Art Deco district of Miami that the woman chef from Venezuela owns. It's escaping me the name of it, but I love it. In the meantime, I love everything that Pacific Legal Foundation does. I mean it. You guys take on some big cases. You go after the government. Where do you prefer that the people take a look at you?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. We're 18-2 with the U.S. Supreme Court. We represent people who sue the government, local, state, and federal. You can go to pacificlegal.org, and you can read about us. If you have a lawsuit with the local, state, or federal government, or a claim you want to make, we're your people. Give us a call. Or if you want to make a donation, we have been around for 51 years. Governor Reagan got us started when he was governor of California. And as I said, 18-2, we just won our 18th case about 2 weeks ago at the U.S. Supreme Court.
I love it. By the way, the name of the restaurant is Chica. I'll meet you over there for a steak anytime you want. I appreciate you making time for me, and I wish you luck, and I'm going to have you check back in after this is all done, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. God bless.
Thank you. You too. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Call Sean now. 312-642-5600. AM 560. The Answer.
I don't know if it's because I refuse to watch men on steroids and tights chase balls or what, but I remember when an entire political movement was started. The Tea Party. And so many people were deceived by self-enriching, self-aggrandizing frauds who said they were going to go to Washington, D.C. and rip out Obamacare. What'd they do? These are bust-outs like Joe Walsh. Never made a dollar in his fracking life. Went there and did what? Nothing. Adam Kinzinger. Nothing. Pick one. Pick a Tea Party so-called conservative. I guess that's what you call them. What the hell did they do? Now it's normal. You're used to it. What is the ramifications? Shockingly, I bet you the people outside of the medical industry don't have an idea the way people inside do. Dr. Randy.
Sean Thompson, what an honor, man. Dr. Randy here, big fan, brother. I try to listen to your show as much as I can. And, you know, when I hear it, well, sometimes I'm as I was listening earlier, one thing about Obamacare, I want to make sure people understand. Back in the day when it was supposed to be voluntary, you know, where people were looking for help from the government, they gave out this Obamacare atrocious plan. It was supposed to decrease all these prices. But for the doctors, it was terrible. It increased deductibles for people. It increased their rates. And, you know, all these rates are all dictated by Medicare. Medicare dictates rates, plans, diagnosis codes. Now, and every insurance company has got to follow the Medicare model. They all do it.
So it's a soft single payer, right? I mean, that's how we should start calling it.
Well, it's a necessary evil right now. I mean, you know, people who need that insurance, they can use it. But, you know, hospitals, they get government subsidies, hundreds of millions of dollars a year for people who can't pay. You know, back in the day when they would give those tax breaks to doctors, they don't do that anymore. They do that for hospitals. And now those subsidies are going to increase within the next 2 years because of all the illegal aliens who don't have money to go get health care. But these hospitals are still going to get paid. Okay.
Well, it's amazing how they automatically are getting health care. I mean, you've never been here. You walk in, you got some ailment, and the cost is just thrown on us. It's just astonishing. And to me, the cure was always to give it to the provider, give him his own money just so he doesn't pay taxes. Treat as many people as you want, don't charge him, and deduct it from your taxable income.
That would be great. That would be great. And Bernie Sanders, you know, spits out how great it is in the Netherlands and all these. It's terrible out there. People buy their own insurance. People pay for their own health care. People send their kids to private schools. He uses this like it's some type of heavenly plan. It's not. And I'll give you another brilliant Medicare move. One service in my office does is stem cell recruitment therapy. And prior to 2020, insurance was paying for it. And then Medicare decided to just stop paying for it. This was something that kept people from having surgeries, additional surgeries. It was healing them from the inside. But I think it's because Big Pharma didn't have a patent on these things. Because if they did, every practitioner would do it.
Do you know what never gets mentioned, Dr. Randy? Never, except from nerds who look into the numbers. This has been going on for 15 years. For 15 years, when you put together Medicare and Medicaid programs, it's $100 billion a year of fraud that they never get a dollar. Just fraud targeted from domestic and international swindlers that are frauding the Medicare and Medicaid. $100 billion is a lot of money. And this has gone on for 15 years. So you're talking in excess of $1 trillion since Obamacare's implementation, and we're still just getting stuck with the tab. And nobody discusses how big of a failure
it is. You know what? That old timer I was talking about, hey, the HMO is great. Back in the day, HMO was the answer. It was a great answer. But that's when, you know, HMO was in the 50s and 60s was great. Nowadays, HMO will benefit the young couple that is never sick. They can, because their company they work for, it's less in premiums. But no self-respecting specialist is going to be part of any HMO unless they work for some big company like Advocate or whatever. Because HMO dictates what you can treat, how long you can treat them, what you can bill for it. no self-respecting doctor work his weight is going to even be part of an EHM.
They have to learn sooner or later. When you disincentivize the individual success, you implement and promote the collective failure. That's what we're living through. This is a collective failure versus having the doctors that were great and had massive individual success. You know this since you've been in medicine. Do you remember when you were just getting started? What was a great doctor earning? And now look at what they earn. It's a fraction of what they used to earn, isn't it?
It's struggling. It's a struggle, especially if you have employees. And, you know, that's a whole nother call on another day.
Yeah.
You know, but
you've inspired me.
Keep up the good fight. We love listening to you. There's a lot more of us than there are of them, and there's a lot of them.
See?
But, you know, stay with the fight, brother.
Dr. Randy, thank you very much in Plainfield. If you ever want to give out your service, give Honey Bunny the name, and we'll do that, all right?
Amen, brother. Have a
thank
good
you.
One.
You too. And, you know, it's interesting, the philosophy of the collectivist, of the Bernie Sanders, of the Marxist. I just grabbed this morning. When I like to get up in the middle of the night, and I grabbed this clip, and I didn't know exactly how I was going to use it, but it's fascinating. It's it's a Harvard study, and it's a Harvard professor, and he talks about the ideology of so-called economists in training, Harvard-educated economists. Listen to this.
Harvard Business School asked their students when they were graduating, what would you rather have when you graduate for a salary? Scenario A, and all dollars are constant. Scenario A is you make $160,000 upon graduation, and the rest of the students in the cohort, on average, get $150,000. Scenario B is you make $200,000, and the rest of the students, on average, get $220,000. What do you think they chose? 87% chose A. Now, you would think these are some of the smartest kids in the world, right? You would think that they're brilliant. They're going to Harvard Business School. They learned about money, and yet they chose the lesser economics because they're more focused on having versus having not.
That is the mindset of a communist. He'd rather have less to make sure you have less. That's the mindset of a cancer culture that will eat itself. Will it, with no conscience, take its neighbor's assets, plummet success, because they don't want you. That is the ideology of collectivism, the covetous nature of a fraud and a failure. That's what's in charge. That's why, to a certain extent, Joe Biden is the perfect representative of it. He's never done anything, succeeded at anything. Always the bull dung political utopia. But the mindset that supports it is the mindset of today's Harvard economist, where he'd rather have less to make sure you have less. And that's a dangerous mindset. Just ask anybody that grew up in the Soviet Union. 312-642-5600.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois,
in the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Yeah, big Starbucks guy, Squirrel. I absolutely am. After all, they fought off the union so far, except in real Democrat strongholds, and they're a complete supporter of Israel. As all the Democrats, Scourge, and Hamas sympathizers are boycotting it, I'm buying more. Cream Puff Jim, what the hell do you want to talk about today?
Hey, Tammany Hall, my favorite spot in New York.
Yeah.
Some of the great Sons of Aaron ran, Woodrow Wilson's campaign for his 8 years he was in office. You know, it's strange, too, because he was a Presbyterian hated Catholics, but that was the genius behind the throne. And then you get the root FDR, you got Jimmy Farley right from Tammany.
Oh, do you know when the Tammany party broke up? It's an interesting stat that not many people know. You know,
they had some great heroes in that. You had Jimmy Bo James, you had Jimmy the Gent Walker.
Yeah, all good guys.
Irishman who was the mayor of New York.
Right.
Well, nobody was more crooked than the big Bill Cosby Republican machine in Chicago. That was the most. They made Tammany Hall Boy Scout.
Tammany Hall didn't break up until 1967. Did you know that? The Tammany party.
Well, thank goodness. How could you? They were brilliant. You had so many brilliant Irishmen in that Sure.
But and nobody, you know what the first name of it was? The Tiny Genitals LLC.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You didn't think I was going to let that go, did you, Squirrel? Of course not. When it comes to Tiny Genitals, is there any better representation than the McCaskey family? I love this new scam. I can't name. Do they still have that quarterback that was supposed to be great but sucked? What's his name? Fields? Do they still have him, Squirrel? I can name. They no longer have him? I can't name one player. Not one. And I'm very proud of that. I also wouldn't sit idly by as they steal my money for their scam, fraud, family business.
Robin, Cheryl, if the Bears get their way, they'll continue playing here at Soldier Field until 2028 and then move next door to a brand new publicly owned stadium that could host year-round events, including a Super Bowl.
Ooh, this is going to be great. And you know what I love about Marxist Mafia members? How they sell this like it's going to be a fair deal for the people.
It is, as envisioned, ambitious and transformative. A lakefront mecca that the Bears say is worthy of a world-class city.
We have to decide who we are. Do we want to be a kind of middle-tier city? Or do we want to be a progressive, advanced city?
Bears,
you do realize you're a laughingstock city. And the rest of the nation avoids you, stays away from you, and uses you as examples of corruption and failure.
President Kevin Warren on Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago, hours after the team publicly unveiled its plan for a new stadium with more than 70,000 seats beneath a fixed, translucent roof.
We are excited.
Ooh, what do you think that costs? A fixed, translucent roof. I wonder if it's like solar panels. Does it become translucent because it's oil? Oh, the climate, the climate!
To invest in the greatest city in the world through a stadium project and site improvements that will benefit Chicagoans and visitors.
It would sit just south of Soldier Field, which would be...
They're always investing in that city. A lot of investment, a lot of scum, huh?
Torn down minus the historic colonnades. The columns forming part of the sweeping campus that would feature parks, public areas, and youth...
Can you get to the $4 billion and change?
Athletic fields. The Bears would pay more than $2 billion, but are asking for about that same amount in federal, state, and local funding.
Now, I wonder if that's going to be like the price for the Jane Byrne, which quintupled after they broke ground. In the meantime, what I also like is when Marxist economists even know it's a scam. Here's Rob Reich, a well-known Democrat Marxist economist.
Billionaires have found one more way to funnel our tax dollars into their bank accounts. Sports stadiums. And if we don't play ball, they'll take our favorite teams away. Ever notice how there never seems to be enough money to build public infrastructure like mass transit lines and better schools? And yet, when a multi-billion dollar sports team demands a new stadium, our local governments are happy to oblige. A good example of this billionaire boondoggle is the host of the 2023 Super Bowl, State Farm Stadium. That's where the Arizona Cardinals have played since 2006. It was built...
By the way, all riddled in scandal. It'll be the same contractors, the same short-in-the-pants mafia that screwed you on the Jane Byrne. They're really going to wet their beak on this scandal for a team that sucks. And I don't know much about football, but I know they suck. We'll be back tomorrow.